Accessing drone bay. Drone bay active. Receiving transmission.
Hello everyone and welcome to Drone Bay episode number 23. This is going to be the first in a series of special podcasts for the 7th Alliance Tournament. As always, I am your host, Croven, and with me I have a number of special guests, some of whom you may remember from previous episodes, and some of whom are going to be new faces to some of you. So let's go ahead and go down the list so that we know who all's here. So first of all, we have two of our new experts for the 7th Alliance Tournament here with us. First, we have T-Days. Why don't you say hello to the nice people?
Hello to the nice people.
Awesome. Awesome. And who do you fly with, T?
I'm currently with Agony Unleashed, or Agony Empire as they are for the tournament, and I've been with them for about 15 months now. Took a break to go and play with some space-holding alliance up in Branch, which didn't work out too well, so I've gone back to Agony and been teaching some of their PvP basic courses.
Right, right. And we may actually get a chance to talk about a little bit about that later on, because I know that there was an issue with whether or not Agony was going to be in the tournament, but we'll be able to... at one point. Well, but we'll be able to talk about that a little bit later on. Next, we have Ryas Nia with us as well.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going wonderfully. And who do you fly with?
I am a member of the Vito Corporation, the infamous pirate group.
Awesome. Well, yeah, and continuing the tradition of having a Vito member on the Alliance Tournament panel, of course, Verone is a well-known and loved expert, so you've got some pretty big shoes to fill.
Actually, Verone's pretty small, so they're very small shoes.
He is a tiny little man, but large in internet spaceship stature. So next up, we have our representatives of CCP and of the EVE TV team from CCP side of things. So first of all, we have returning to the show, Stevie SG.
Oh, welcome hello. Back. Hello. I wasn't going to be actually on this podcast. I was just going to be listening in, but I'm very happy to also be on voice chat. So hello. And I'm not going to be saying much. Yeah, it's okay. I'm not going to be saying much, but I am definitely here. And I'm definitely happy to be issuing in the Alliance tournament for this season. And it's fantastic. So hello, everybody.
Okay. And we... From CCP, we also have with us our favorite Uncle Soundwave, who will be hosting the festivities in Iceland. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you very much, Croven. It's a pleasure to be here. I usually fly with CCP. My preferred role in a gang is host of the Alliance tournament, and it's fun to be back.
All right. And also with us from CCP, we have CCP Claw, who is in charge of a lot of the officiating and the rules for the tournament. So welcome back to the show, Claw.
Thank you very much. Good evening.
Okay. We obviously don't have the entire tournament team with us tonight due to scheduling conflicts across the Atlantic and across the continental United States as well. But we will hopefully have everybody with us in some combination of shows between now and the actual start of the Alliance tournament. At least that's the clever plan. So, without further ado, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about the main event that's brought us all here, and that's Alliance Tournament 7. For those perhaps uninitiated to the concept, the Alliance tournament is basically, well, for Americans out there, the Super Bowl of EVE Online, and for everyone else, I suppose, the World Cup of EVE Online. The alliances pay an entry fee, enter the tournament, and go through various brackets and eventually try to make it to the elimination rounds, where they'll be crowned the best small gang PvP alliance in the game. And that is, along with some fabulous prizes that go along with it, and a mountain of prestige and accolades heaped upon you from every direction. This is, of course, the 7th of these tournaments. I participated in the last one, so regular listeners to the show will remember perhaps the last Alliance tournament in February and the fun that we had there. But in essence, the tournament represents the growing field of esports. And I know that we've seen, you know, other MMOs have have similar sort of events, and you have single player and more offline games that have tournament settings as well. But EVE's, because of the nature of EVE and because of the intermixed nature of all these alliances and all of the politics that go on between them, the Alliance tournament is really something very, very special. And I think all of us have had some exposure to the tournament, even if we weren't experts in the past. I think both of the new experts have had at least some tangential exposure to the tournament previously. Is that right?
Yes, that's... Yeah, that's correct. I actually flew in AT-3 under the Fimblewinter banner. So I have flown in the Alliance tournament before.
Okay. T, how about you?
I was involved with some of the testing for the 4th Alliance tournament with the Agony team. I didn't actually fly for them with that time, but I flew with them for the 6th Alliance tournament. I was in two of the matches that we won convincingly.
Well, there you go. Clearly you were the missing element in the rest of the matches, huh?
I can possibly comment.
You and crazy vigil pilots. That's what Agony needs to bring more of this time. So, all right, and obviously I was part of the 6th Alliance tournament EVE TV team. Prior to that, I flew under the Mercenary Coalition banner in Alliance Tournament 5 and was involved in the planning for and the testing for Alliance Tournament 4 for the Mercenary Coalition team. Neither of those teams did extremely well, but all the same, we had a lot of fun. And finally, perhaps fittingly so, late to the party, we have Trisbic. Why don't you say hello to the nice people?
Hello, nice people. I'm Trisbic, 3 years in Goonswarm, and I'm late to things.
So, now that you've met a good chunk of this year's EVE TV tournament team, let's talk a little bit about when you'll be able to tune in and enjoy Alliance Tournament 7 alongside us. So, there's going to be two weekends of preliminary matches, and then that's going to be followed by the elimination matches that's where we all fly out to Iceland and get to play celebrities on TV. So the first qualifying round is going to be on the 5th and 6th of September. The second round will be on the 12th and 13th, and the finals, the elimination rounds, will be on the 19th and 20th. The first two weekends, even though they're not going to be televised via EVE TV, will be available to you over audio broadcast, and further details on exactly where you can listen into that and who to contact and how to tune in will be forthcoming as the tournament gets a little bit closer to us. But rest assured that even though you won't be able to watch the matches live for those first 2 weeks, you will be able to listen to them live. And if things go the way they did last year, then there may be recorded matches available shortly thereafter. Soundwave, Claw, are either you able to speak to whether that's the case?
Obviously, CCP Charlie is... the guy who's in charge of this, but yeah, we'll be doing the same as we did last year, so all of the matches will generally be up before the end of Monday in HD on YouTube and normal on YouTube as well, but CCP Charlie and his crew, being as efficient as they are, do tend to have them up only a few hours later a lot of the time. So pretty much subscribe to the YouTube channel and check it out there, keep an eye.
Yeah, and that's an excellent point, actually, that if you missed last year, or not last year's, I keep saying last year's, if you missed the 6th tournament for any reason, you can actually go back and still watch quite a bit of it on the CCP Games YouTube channel. So you can, you know, watch some of the more exciting matches from last year, and there were quite a few of those. And then this year, as the tournament comes up, you'll be able to catch up on that as well if you have to work on the weekend and can't listen to the matches, or perhaps you just like watching them instead of hearing them. That is an option that'll be available to you as well.
But let's be serious here. I mean, during the Alliance tournament weekends, you don't have work. You've taken those days off.
Exactly. Well, I have.
Hopefully everyone else has. I mean, this is the Super Bowl of the internet. You can't, you know.
Exactly.
Just in case anyone does need to watch it in work via YouTube, though, the address is www.youtube.com/CCPgames.
There you go.
Just in case anyone needs it.
Yeah, you can show your coworkers, show your boss. I'm sure they'll be very happy to watch internet spaceships while you're supposed to be doing work. So yeah, great job.
I have actually done it before. I mean, they weren't too thrilled, but it went over well enough once they realized what was going on, and a couple of the guys in the office were somewhat interested. Like, hey, what's going on there? Ooh, pretty explosions.
Oh yeah. I mean, I've used the tournament as a recruitment tool more than once to bring new people into the game, and it's a great opportunity for new players as well as veterans to see some of the best PvPers out there in action in small gang PvP, which is, in my opinion, one of the most fun formats that you can engage in PvP in this game. And speaking of format, there are some significant rules changes to this year's tournament, though it does seem to bear quite a bit of similarity to Alliance Tournament 6 rules-wise and format-wise, with the two preliminary rounds and then the finals, the elimination rounds after that. But I know that one of the things that changed is the array of systems of points that are available to a team, and even some of the ships and modules that are available to a team. Claw, can you tell us a little bit about what's been, I guess, the biggest changes from the last Alliance tournament and how a team is put together for Alliance Tournament 7?
Sure. Well, firstly, we've messed around with the points a little bit. We do this partially to kind of balance out the ships a little bit more, you know, in a continual effort to try and make the point system as perfect as possible. We also do this to kind of just change it up a little bit every year. You know, obviously, if in any given point system one ship is probably going to be the best, or one certain types of ships are going to be more efficient than others, so we like to change the points around every time, just to kind of change up what's the best and so on, just to keep things a little bit different. We've also made a couple of big changes this year, the major one being, or this time, I oversee year as well, this time round, the major one being that we're not allowing more than two of any specific ship to be fielded by a team, so that rather than teams like in previous tournaments of nine of the same ship or eight of the same ship, we're going to make people think a little bit more now. Obviously, you can still field very heavy close range setups or very fast setups and so on, but you need to do it with multiple different ship types now.
Okay.
That's the major change we've made.
And that doesn't apply to, and that applies to ships with a specific name, right? So you could have two Thoraxes, two Deimos, and two Phobos and two Vigilants.
That's right, yeah. It's two specifically named ships, so multiple of the same hull variant is fine, as long as it's no more than two of the exact same ship, okay, essentially.
And I guess to back it up a little bit, we should explain what we mean by point cost being changed. Each team has 100 points with which to purchase the ships that they're going to bring. Obviously, they have to purchase them with ISK as well, but in the interest of fairness, it's limited to 100 points. And each type of ship, each class of ship, so Tech 1 Cruiser, Tier 1 Battle Cruisers, Battleships, things like that, they're all going to have different points costs based on their relative strength to the other ship classes within the tournament setting. And as we've noticed before, you know, occasionally ships that are very, very powerful out in the wild sometimes aren't as effective in the tournament setting due to things like limitations on cloaking and warping and things like that. So, you know, whereas a Force Recon is a very powerful, very formidable foe one-on-one out in the wild, in the tournament, they're basically have giant targets painted on them, as has been my experience in watching the tournaments of years past. So there is a little bit of contrivance, I suppose. Things are a little bit different than you'll see them out in TQ on a day-to-day basis, out on the regular server. All the same, there, you know, there's an enormous amount of strategy and player skill that goes into building these teams.
Yeah, but I mean, we call it a small gang tournament, and it really isn't a small gang tournament, because if you're setting up a small gang, you're not setting up for like anything that comes your way. When you're in the tournament, you're setting up a maximum of 10 players with a maximum budget, and you're fighting the exact same thing. So it isn't really like a realistic small gang scenario. It is like an arena scenario, basically.
Right. things are meant to be kept very very equal, so every team has an equal opportunity to win any given match based on their skills and their ship selection. The Alliance tournament is one of the perhaps the most memorable event in any, you know, 6 month, 1 year period for a lot of EVE players. I know that a lot of my favorite moments that I've either participated in or watched other people playing EVE Online have revolved around the Alliance tournament in one way or another. And I know that all of us, we've all either flown in the tournament, watched the tournament, been involved in the tournament in some other way. So let's go ahead and go down the line here and talk a little bit about your favorite moment of Alliance tournament past, and briefly describe what happened and why it was memorable, just to kind of maybe give people who either help us all reminisce about those good times or to kind of give newer players an inkling of what they're in for. So we'll start with Ryas. What's your favorite tournament memory?
Well, I mean, it's definitely a personal one. When I was flying with Fimbulwinter, I was, you know, quite the noob at the time. I think I had maybe 8 million skill points flying a Rifter. And we got into the field against Nebula Rasa during, you know, AT3. And of course, like any good tournament prep, you're sitting there spamming, you know, the scanner button to see who's on the field, what ships they brought. And we immediately see a bunch of Navy Vexers and a Damnation. We're sitting there going, we've got this in the bag. We had Tier 3 battleships had just come out, so we had a brand new Maelstrom built for this event. It was the first time that had been fielded in the Alliance tournament. And we warped into the field, and all of a sudden, it was just a swarm of drones. I mean, my overview just went red like crazy, and I don't think I've ever seen us die nearly as fast as that moment. So, hands down to Nebula Rasa, they brought such an inventive setup to that particular fight, and it absolutely shredded us. I mean, we were just screaming, losing our minds on TeamSpeak at the time.
Nice, nice. I actually vaguely remember that match. I was watching that one from somewhere out in Period Basis, I think, is where I was at the time. T, how about you? What's a favorite tournament memory for you?
Well, again, it's going to have to be a personal thing, which is in the Sixth Alliance tournament, our fight against Manifest Destiny, it's Agony Empire. We fielded the four golem setup with six Ishkas, and were very successful with it. But what was nice about that is we changed completely from using our Amar battleships, and we discovered afterwards that they'd fitted for Amar jammers, and it just goes to show that you can't guarantee that someone's going to bring the same kind of setup two matches in a row. And so we were able to win quite convincingly because they were expecting and tanking against an MR battleship setup.
Absolutely, yeah. There's quite a bit of metagame that goes on in these. You know, we saw the last tournament's champion, you know, brought very similar setups up until the end, and then kind of pulled out new stuff that we weren't really expecting. So there's a lot of consideration and mind games that go on as well when planning your tournament team. It's a lot of fun to watch. Trisbic, how about you? Favorite Alliance tournament memory?
Let's see. Favorite would probably be the Alliance tournament 5? Yeah, 5, when I was the team captain for Goonswarm with 24 hours notice, I believe. And our first match was against UNL, and it was Goonswarm's team of like 9 Ruptures and a Guardian against UNL's 8 Thoraxes and 2 Onieroses, and it was just a bloodbath, and lots of stuff exploded, and it was a ton of fun. And that's probably my favorite memory. We lost, but we killed their Onieroses. It went well. I think I did a good job of not getting us all killed without killing anything. I think we may have had a griffin for that fight also, because we were about to start and one of the CCP guys was like, you know, you're under points. And I was like, I whatever. I was just making sure we were under 100.
Okay. Claw, how about you? Favorite memory from tournaments past?
Well, we've done this a few times before, obviously, and, you know, we come up with the same stuff. So I'm going to give you my favorite team from Alliance Tournament 6 in specific, which was AAA's Spider Tank and Rock setup.
Oh god!
Which was pretty awesome. You know, people, as soon as we disallowed remote repairing, people said, you know, you can no longer tank. And we know that that's not how EVE works. You know, there's always a way to mm-hmm. do something if you think about it enough and if you're ingenious enough and have enough cojones to go and try something different, and AAA's setup was really good. Unfortunately, Rock's having roughly the DPS of a wet paper bag wasn't fantastic. But the actual, you know, seeing those rocks out there on the field, spider tanking, I know we've used shots from that. There was actually a shot from that fight in the butterfly effect video.
I saw that.
Yeah, and it, you know, it was just very cool to watch. And it, you know, it was, it's graphically, it was lovely to see, and in terms of ingenuity, it was really nice to see. And it was really a shame that one of the ships in that game, that the guy actually crashed. So according to the rules, we destroyed his ship when he re-entered the arena. Which is one of the major things that's made us, I don't know whether we've actually talked about this at all yet, but we've actually got a giant invisible warp bubble this year, which I'll be deploying at the start of every match to make sure no ships can warp out.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I haven't heard that before.
Oh, there you go. There's a Drone Bay podcast exclusive for you, I guess.
Nice.
So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be deploying that at the start of every game, so even if someone does crash, the ship won't automatically warp out. So obviously, it's not ideal for the team involved, but it does mean, you know, teams might be able to recover from that a little bit better.
Right.
But that
if
was,
somebody can get back in.
Yeah, exactly. So again, that was a really good fight from last time, and it was a shame to see it end the way it did. But it's made us, you know, get up and do something about that particular circumstance.
Yeah, I was actually in AAA at the time that happened, and paid a visit to the forums that night, and. And everybody was really disappointed. They thought it was a strong setup, and perhaps with the fourth battleship there, it would have been just that little bit of extra DPS, even though the rock, like you said, especially when it's firing missiles, isn't the biggest DPS boat out there. There's, you know, the idea there was to outlast the opponent no matter what, and that might have been able to come true if not for losing one of the... components of it was actually cap transferring going back and forth, because a rock, obviously, with its bonuses to shield tanking, you know, if you've got an infinite amount of cap in there to run that extra large booster, it is very, very difficult to bring one of those things down if it's got an unlimited supply of capacitor. So cool. And finally, Soundwave, what is your favorite memory from Alliance tournaments past?
That is probably going to be the first tournament I was an expert, Alliance Tournament 5. We had a lot of the spider tanking going on, a lot of dual logistics setups, quite a few triple Dominic setups, and I, you know, a lot of people thought it was a bit boring. I wasn't that bothered by it, but I mean, at some point you got a little nervous that the final was going to end up being really slow and like a very strategic match. And just before the cameras went on and we saw the teams enter the field, and it was basically just glass cannons. It was like two full-on offensive setups, and we actually talked about if the teams had been in touch with each other before the game and decided to go for this, but they hadn't, so they just picked the exact reverse trend of the tournament, and I think it was stealth bombers or something on one side, and it was just a slugfest, and it was kind of a climax to that tournament. It was really, really good.
Absolutely. I do remember that as well. And there was actually there was that tournament where stealth bombers plus logistic ships was the order of the day for a lot of teams, and that was actually quite a bit of fun to watch, because the alpha strike damage off that many stealth bombers is quite the thing to see, especially if you're not prepared for it. And I expect that would be even more true now that because back then stealth bombers of course fired cruise missiles, whereas now they fire torpedoes. So even more damage on large targets could be potentially coming off of those things.
And more awesome. Cool effects.
Exactly, yeah, and cool particle effects too. As for myself, I think, and again, this is at least slightly self-centered, the finals match from Alliance Tournament 6, you know, you had Pandemic Legion, who had been knocking at the door of the Alliance Tournament Championship for a while, but had never been able to make it over that final hurdle and make it in. And then you had RUR, who came out of nowhere. Nobody even knew who they were. We mocked their setups at the beginning of the tournament, and then they just steamrolled absolutely everybody who was placed in front of them, and ended up with a a rather climactic finals match, I think, perhaps with one altered ship choice for RUR, if they'd maybe taken a Golem instead of the Abaddon. Maybe if they'd taken a Raven instead of the Abaddon, because what ended up happening was it got tracking disrupted to the point where it was a big, you know, big gold floating battery in space. Perhaps if they'd had a missile boat instead, things could have gone differently for them. But all the same, an amazing match, an amazing finish, and I got to call it. So that's a really, really vivid, not only tournament memory for me, but one of my favorite EVE Online memories to this day. So now that we've talked a little bit about our favorite memories from tournament past, let's take a look forward at what we might be able to expect out of Alliance Tournament 7. And to do that, we're going to take a quick look at some of the teams involved, specifically the matchups from Round 1. There are, I believe, 64 teams in this year's tournament, and they're going to... So each weekend of preliminary rounds is going to involve 32 matches, with the top 32 teams from that moving on to the elimination rounds in the final weekend and getting their chance at the big prize. So let's go ahead and take a look down this first weekend, and there's a lot of very familiar names to people who have been playing EVE for a while, but also some relative newcomers, perhaps even some alliances that were made specifically for the tournament. I know that's not unheard of, and certainly appears that might be the case here as well. So it kind of in a similar vein to talking to how we talked about our favorite tournament memories from the past, let's look ahead here and pick out some matches from this first round that we think are going to be particularly entertaining or maybe have quite a bit of bearing on how the tournament's going to end up. And we'll go in a slightly different order this time. So this time we will start with Soundwave. Can you give us a match out of this first weekend and that interests you?
Well, let me say that all the matches interest me. All of the teams are unique snowflakes, and I love every single one of them. But if I was to choose one snowflake that is more unique than the other uniquest snowflakes, then I would possibly choose Red Overlord versus Solar Wing. Primarily because there are two Russian alliances, and why you might not always hear a lot about the Russians in EVE, they're certainly a force to be reckoned with. And the Russian community has a bit of a divide, right now. And I think that match is like basically taking both of those chunks and just having them fight each other. It's like the Goonswarm and Bob conflict of the Russian community. So I'm actually looking forward to seeing Red Overlord and Solar Wing.
Interesting. So some political implications, perhaps, or some grudges being brought to bear on the big stage. Always very exciting when that happens. Claw.
Yes, definitely.
Claw, how about you? Can you pick us out a match from the first round?
Well, as Soundwave said, you know, a lot of the games look very good this year with the drawing system we've made. There's a lot of new and unusual teams. We're doing a lot of stuff very boldly this year that we've never done before. And I think if I was going to pick a game, I would probably say Star Fraction against the Ronin looks pretty good. Star Fraction always a good solid team. Ronin again, very good solid team. Both of them always well performing. I believe it's the first time they've fought, and it'll be very interesting to see how they get along.
Absolutely. Star Fraction gained quite a bit of tournament notoriety for being the first team to knock out Band of Brothers back when they were the multiple defending champions of the Alliance tournament. It was a 10 Thorax setup from Star Fraction that actually knocked them out of contention. So, you know, always interesting to watch their matches. All right. How about Trisbic? How about you? Pick us out a match from the first round.
I'm hoping that the Banzai Boys versus Notoriety Alliance will be interesting. I mean, 2 years ago, Notoriety had one of the coolest teams in the tournament with a lot of Sansha's ships, and it was very eccentric and fun to watch. I hope they go back to that, because last year it was a little bit more conventional. Mm-hmm. I also think that Goonswarm versus Razor is going to be very expensive, if nothing else. And, you know, but there may be another Great War based on the outcome of that match. Who knows?
Awesome. Okay, T, how about you? What about matches from the first round?
Well, the first round matching, obviously I'm going to be rooting for my guys against Systematic Chaos. So that'll be, obviously, from the personal side of things, that'll be the one I'll be looking forward to the most. As to other matches, I'm quite interested to see what Rogue Capel and Triumvirate can do to each other. Sort of had know people in both over the years and sort of had dealings with both, so it'll be interesting to see how that match turns out.
Awesome. And Ryas, what is your pick for match of the first round?
Oh, man. There are going to be a lot of really good fights. I mean, the good news is, being the pirate, I don't like anyone, unlike Soundwave, who likes everybody. But Cry Havoc and Pod Liberation, I'm actually interested to see, mostly because I know what Cry Havoc can bring to the field, and PLA fights alongside of them and only seems to have about 5 or 6 really active people on their kill board. So I'm curious to see, you know, if they're going to have other people come into their fight, or what's going to happen there. And interestingly enough, the Rogue Capel Triumvirate fight, I've heard from inside sources that there's a little bit of a rift happening in Rogue Capel, and they've lost some of the initial, you know, flavor that was started with Stimulus, and some of their really good PvPers have moved on to other corporations and things like that. So it'll be it may not be the Rogue Capel we remember.
Interesting. Very interesting. As for myself, there's quite a few here that are look very, very interesting. Obviously, you know, I spent some time in Against All Authorities, and if only Interstellar Alcohol Conglomerate were what it was 18 months ago, 2 years ago, I would say that's definitely the match of the first round. As it is, I think maybe Dead Terrorists against Blade is going to be one to keep an eye on. Or, actually, oh, you know what? Now I'm seeing the Five versus the Kadeshi. I think that's going to be one to watch. The Five obviously have ties to Kenzoku, formerly known as Band of Brothers, sharing some corporate ties there. And the Kadeshi solid team could end up providing an early upset. Who knows? So it'll be very interesting to see how that shakes out. Somebody about to say something? I hear intake of breath.
Yeah, so I was kind of like wanted to talk a little bit about the Kensoku versus Laconian Syndicate match.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, as some people have noticed on the forum, Laconis has been selling his spot. And being true to the metagame of Eve, I'm pretty sure Kensoku ended up buying it, which I think is absolutely awesome.
One thing about Kenzoku, the last Band of Brothers Corp, Evolution, left and formed their own alliance also, so I don't know what's going on there now.
Well, and I was also under the impression that the Laconian Syndicate had sold the spot but actually scammed the person buying it and just taken about 4 billion ISK for it and are still planning on competing.
That's even more awesome.
That is even
I think it's
awesome.
Brilliant.
So effectively they've sponsored the team, which is a genius idea.
Oh, it's... Props to them. I mean, anyone who can pull that off, I think, is fantastic. And I know that there was a whole lot of hubbub about the fact that it was a CSM doing it. But people forget, this is Eve. This is, you know, a wonderful, harsh environment where if you're dumb enough to give someone your ISK, you're dumb enough to give someone your ISK.
Yeah, but I mean, even if you don't just want to scam people, if you want to make sure that you go on to the final rounds, buying the first match gives you a lot of points to... in the second match. I mean, if you've bought the first match, you have a pretty high chance of going on to number two. So, I mean, scam or not, if it wasn't a scam, I'd say it was a solid purchase. I think it was a smart move to attempt to buy it.
So, obviously, I mean, we could sit here all day and speculate over who could potentially win the whole thing. It's honestly pretty early to do that. I mean, as we've been discussing, we're not even sure who's going to end up competing on the day of, who's going to comprise what teams in some cases. So, you know, as is the nature of Eve, everything is going to be very up in the air until it isn't anymore, until, you know, the dust finally settles and we have one winner standing triumphant. So let's talk a little bit about what it means to win the Alliance tournament. Obviously, Eve is a unique environment in that it's a single shard with, you know, hundreds of thousands of people in it, and the champions of the Alliance tournament are everyone's champions. It's not the issue of, well, yes, this team won the Alliance tournament, but we play on a different server, or they play on an EU server. In EVE, you're all in it together, and so the champion is the champion of the entire world of EVE players. But beyond that, we all know that fame and accolades are great, but what EVE players are in it a lot of the time for is the fat loot. So let's talk a little bit about the fat loots and what's going to be distributed to the people who walk away as the champions and those following close behind as well. So obviously the prizes for each tournament are something that gets a lot of discussion every time, a lot of time before the first shot's even fired of the Alliance tournament. So let's take a moment and talk about what exactly is at stake and what the winner is going to take home this time. So CCP Claw, do you have any, what can you tell us about the prizes for AT7?
We've already announced the generality of the prizes on the website. I can go through them again if you want. Obviously this year we're charging an entrance fee to every team, which we're not refunding, so it gives us a lot of billions of ISK to play with. So the first place is going to take home 50 billion ISK, second place is going to take home 30, and third and fourth are going to take home 20. And obviously we have gold, silver, bronze medals for first, second and third. But the most interesting thing we've got this year is the return after two Alliance tournaments of unique ships again. So designed by our very own CCP Soundwave, the first place team is going to take home 10 5-run blueprint copies of a new cruiser, the Mimitar Mimir, which is essentially a Tech 2 faction cruiser. Which is pretty good. It's very nice stat. I would very much like to fly one. It looks very cool as well. It has an Alliance Tournament 7 memorial plate on it, which you can actually see in-game, which is really awesome. And the second place team will take home 10 5-run blueprint copies of the new Mimitar frigate, which is called the Freki, which is a very, very advanced and very cool and unique tackling frigate, essentially, based on the Rifter hull. Again, with the Alliance Tournament 7 plates, looks very awesome and will be awesome to fly around Empire and show off.
Very nice. Looking forward to seeing some of those explode, perhaps in future Alliance tournaments. And you mentioned, the return of special, unique, in this case not one of a kind, but very few of a kind ships. And I know in the past that's something that a lot of people have really been clamoring for. And, having seen a little bit of detail on these, they are very, very nice ships. I would be more than happy to fly one of those around given the opportunity. So definitely a lot to look forward to for the winners. Not only a fat pile of cash, but also some special spaceships.
Also, as with all Minmatar ships, look up the mythology behind the names of them, because it's rather cool.
Yeah, very true. A lot of those ships do have roots in Norse mythology in particular, and there's a lot of cool stuff there, and it's always kind of fun to see what kind of thought process went into the naming of some of those ships. So definitely some great prizes, and obviously the adoration of the entire EVE Online community will go to the adoration, or perhaps a bitter hatred, will go to the winner of the 7th Alliance tournament. And it really, beyond that, it's always such a huge event for the community, and there's so much community involvement. Obviously, all of the experts, all of us are, we're members of the community, we're players just like the rest of you, giving up a week of vacation we're being forced to give up a week of our vacation to go to Iceland and have the time of our lives. But I'm sure we'll make it through anyway. But beyond that, there's a lot of other work that goes in from the community. The EVE bloggers always tend to fire up a little bit around this time of year. In addition, you've got the multitude of community-driven radio stations who are all going to be taking part in some way in bringing the Alliance tournament and our coverage of it to you. There's EVE Radio, New Eden Radio, and Split Infinity Radio. All three of those are going to play a part in our Alliance tournament coverage. at various times, and you'll probably, best thing to do is to go check out their websites for scheduling on that. I know that some of us will be kind of making the rounds to each of those, and you'll get a chance to hear our lovely voices live as opposed to this pre-recorded format. If you have anything you want to ask us, like I said, this is the first of a series of these shows, you can send that to the normal email address for the Drone Bay, which is just dronebay@gmail.com. You can send your questions and comments in the form of an email, or you can record it into an MP3 and send it on to us as well. We promise not to make too much fun of your voice on the air. At least I do. But other than that, stay tuned. Once again, make sure that the 5th and 6th and the weekend after that, the 5th and 6th, the 12th and 13th, you'll be able to listen to the matches live as they happen. And then the 19th and 20th will be the big show on EVE TV. Be able to watch the matches and all of us live from Iceland as we crown the winner of the 7th Alliance Tournament and give away those very, very shiny ships that you just heard about. So definitely stay tuned. Make sure that you watch the EVE Online site under the Alliance Tournament heading for further details and any further amendments to the list of competing teams, anything like that, as that is all still potentially subject to change. But yeah, without further ado, I just want to thank all of our guests for coming on today. It's been an absolutely great time having you all. Look forward to seeing you all in Iceland here in the next few weeks. So thanks everybody for coming on. And with that said, I think it's time to go ahead and close this one out. So until next time, this is Krovan on behalf of both the Drone Bay team and the EVE TV cast and crew for Alliance Tournament 7 saying fly deadly. You've been listening to the Drone Bay Podcast. If you enjoyed the show and want to hear more, or if you're interested in other MMO podcasts, make sure you check out the Virgin Worlds Podcast Collective at www.virginworlds.com.